Good afternoon and welcome into yet another week of Hate the Player, Not the Game. As always, I am Lucas Owens bringing you this big week of news. A lot of stuff going on in the sports world. It's nice to see after, you know, a few weeks of it being down. It's nice to see so much going on. We got some hockey news for once. We got an MMA fight that did not go well for a Mizzou alum. We have other Mizzou wrestling news that could be very big. We got video games. We got MLB and, of course, NBA talk going on later in the show. But to start off with, we got Patrick Marleau's 1,768th game. I honestly do not think I've gone to work that many days in my life, and that's how many days games he has played in his life. Absolutely mind-boggling how many games this guy has played. He passed this Monday night in Las Vegas. So against a division rival like the Vegas Golden Knights, pretty interesting. They did go to overtime and the Sharks ultimately lost. But no, it's very cool to see Patrick Marleau meet this feat. You know, get to celebrate with his family. His family was in the crowd, which is one good thing about being in Vegas as opposed to San Jose, which is just now going to have fans in the building. Yeah, so he celebrated in Vegas, and then when he met the record in Minnesota, they also honored him. Very cool to see all around from some division rivals, even though Minnesota's only a division rival this year for the Sharks. But Mr. Shark, I mean, he's probably done soon, but just growing up in San Jose and being able to idolize Patrick Marleau, it's been pretty great, and it's going to be pretty sad whenever he decides to hang them up and give a whirl. I don't know how you can say he's not a Hall of Famer after that, but, you know, people will have their arguments. The Ben Askren-Jake Paul fight, though, that's the next bit of news. Yeah, this was a mess. So this was on Triller Fight Club. It was really more of a concert in that. And then finally at the end, they had the fight. It lasted all 2 minutes. Askren got knocked down by a punch. He got up. Rush said, "You're done." I don't think he was done personally. But people can say that he threw it or what. He still went down. He still got a big payday, apparently close to $1 million for Ben Askren. So got the bag, but still very disappointing for Mizzou. He did wrestle at Mizzou before fighting in the UFC, so, you know, got transferred now. Mizzou, big news, big breaking news. Mizzou allegedly might be returning to the Big 12 for wrestling, according to KOMU's Ben Arnett, the sports reporter from KOMU. They are holding a press conference. They are holding a press conference at 3:45 in the Hearn Center, which is, of course, where Mizzou wrestles. So might see something come from there later today on this. But, of course, Mizzou has been wrestling in the MAC for a few years now since they left the Big 12 for the SEC. And, you know, they've been dominating the MAC. There aren't too many other schools in the MAC for wrestling. Wrestling as a whole has very much been dwindling in terms of member schools. You got schools that are huge, like Stanford, even dropping their teams lately. So it's probably good that they're consolidating into the conference they used to be in a conference with a lot of good wrestling programs. Like when you talk about wrestling programs, you think Iowa State, Oklahoma State, all of these schools in the Big 12. So it will be good for them in that sense that they are returning to the Big 12. The NFL draft's coming up next week. I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about position groups or drafting. All I know is that I'm going to be very in tune to where pick number 4 goes. And then after that, I might tune out a bit. So it'll be fun to watch. We'll talk about that more next week. To wrap up this segment of the show, just covering some brief news, MLB The Show 21 has come out for PS5, PS4. Xbox Series X and S, and the Xbox One. So finally, the people who play on Xbox we'll be able to play MLB The Show. You know, I've been having some fun playing this game. You know, you got the stadium creator just basically creating polo grounds, but in the altitude of Coors Field. It's pretty fun. You know, just creating home run parks, creating ridiculous things. Very good game to see, though, but has been suffering some server issues. And I'm sure if you look up MLB The Show 21, it's mostly going to be a few images of people complaining about server issues. So if you want to know where any of your any baseball fans you know who also play video games are the last week or so, that's where they've been. But that's all I have for the first segment of the show. After the break, let's go into some stealing signs, talk about the MLB. Thank you for listening to KCLU 88.1 FM.
Hey, what's up? Holla at your boy. XOXOXO. You getting these texts? Question mark. Where are you? What are you doing? OMG, you are making me mad. You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
All right, welcome back to KCLU 88.1 FM. As always, this is Lucas Owens. Let's get into some stealing signs. So to start out with, some more somewhat breaking news. It broke earlier this morning. Willie Mays won a Lifetime Achievement Award from Baseball Digest, the inaugural Lifetime Achievement Award from Baseball Digest, for his accomplishments and significant contributions to the national game. Highly suggest reading Baseball Digest if you don't already. Fantastic news source there. But yeah, so Mays won this award over a few other finalists, but so pretty amazing. You know, of course, with how big of a Giants fan of him and a big Willie Mays fan, I'm going to be very happy about this. So very nice to see Willie Mays win that award. But before we go too further, let's go into the standings and then the power rankings from ESPN, which I really want to point out, not because I like them, but because I like to criticize them. So in the American League, in the East, we have the Boston Red Sox leading at 12-7. In the Central, the Kansas City Royals are winning the division at 10-7. And in the West, the Oakland A's are winning at 12-7. We'll talk about the A's in a bit and how they're really on a hot streak right now. In the NL, the New York Mets are leading the East at 7-6. So still suffering from having to delay a few games at the start of the season. The Brewers are leading the Central 11-7. And the Dodgers are leading the West at 14-4. Moving on to the wild card, though, because this is where it gets interesting. The Mariners and the Angels are currently in the two spots in the AL, with the Rays just a half game behind the Angels. And in the NL, the Giants and the Reds are the two spots. The Giants have 1.5 games ahead of the Reds. And then the Phillies and Padres, both a half game back of Cincinnati. So looking at that, you might think, oh, number two, you know, we have some teams doing well. The A's have been doing crazy good the past week, really, proving that one series against Houston that they lost all four games might have been a fluke. You know, the Yankees, they're not very good. The Royals are doing great. The Red Sox are doing great. Who would be second place? It is the 10-10 Padres, who just got swept by Milwaukee. So, you know, this is a little annoying. ESPN likes to do this a lot, where they hype a team a lot, and then when results don't necessarily match, they take a while to correct. And to be fair, they hype the Dodgers a lot, and the Dodgers are proving it, but that's because the Dodgers are one of the best teams put together just on paper. But you just have some things in this power rankings that, you know, I wouldn't be too happy about, such as the Oakland A's. After being on an 11-game win streak, they're only number 6, and the Rays and Mets are ahead of them. The Mets, of course, are 7-6 and cannot hit. You know, some teams that are a little too low, New York Yankees are at number 16, dropping from 3 finally. That's because the Yankees, as I'll get into later, aren't very good. The Mariners are currently red hot, 11-7, and they're ranked number 17. So just some things in this power rankings don't necessarily make the most sense. But hey, as I'm sure Justin Bear will be happy, the Diamondbacks aren't second to last like they were in MLB.com's power rankings. That's enough of that. Let's talk about the Oakland A's-Minnesota Twins series. This one was an interesting one to watch. The A's swept, but, you know, it's a lot more complicated than that. A lot more to the tape than just a plain sweep. So, Minnesota have been suffering through some COVID-less issues the past few days before the series. So, doubleheader Tuesday and then game yesterday. Of course, a doubleheader in Oakland, that means you have to turn on the lights during the game. And the lights in Oakland like to misbehave, and they did. The lights went out in the second game of doubleheader, gave the A's, you know, some time to regroup, and then they win. The Twins didn't allow a hit in the 10th yesterday. They had a two-run lead, after Byron Buxton put them there. Byron Buxton had a great series, by the way. That's going to be lost in all of this stupidity. Make a bunch of errors, a bunch of walks. Game ends on a throwing error that allows two runs to score. Just ridiculous. So, the A's have won 11 straight, but there's more to the tape than just straight up 11 straight wins. Tim LeCastro accomplished a great feat, 29 straight stolen bases to start his career before being caught stealing. Was caught stealing a few days ago, I believe I'm forgetting the name of the catcher, but still, regardless, a great series. Something that I wanted to talk about again, mentioned it a little bit earlier, the New York Yankees aren't very good. 6-11. Yeah, they did have one win against the Braves, though. They did get swept by the Rays. You know, they've been losing a lot of games. You just gotta wonder what's really going on with this team. They're just, like, they just do not seem, all together right now. The pitching has been okay. It's really been the hitting. And, you know, they're not even that hurt like they usually are. It's just the Yankees. Yeah. I mean, one way to put it is the Rays spend about as much as one big contract as for the Yankees. And the Rays have won 7 straight series against the Yankees. But enough of sadness. Let's talk about some happiness for once. My San Francisco Giants, in case you didn't hear, are doing very good. 11-7. May's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. What's not to love? They got a series coming up against the Marlins this weekend. But this has been a ridiculous team to watch. And honestly, why I love April baseball is just seeing some of these storylines play out. The Giants can't score unless they hit a home run. I think they scored 2 runs this last series against the Phillies without it being a home run. It's not like they didn't score a lot of runs either. They scored 17 runs. 15 of them came on home runs. Yeah, they're just a little bit of a ridiculous team. You know, one of the lowest batting averages and the highest amount of home runs. It's crazy to see. I mean, Evan Longoria is leading in both batting average and home runs. 291 batting average, 4 home runs. But really, this is just personifying a bigger issue in the MLB. This year, which is batting average, is way far down. I believe if the season ended today, it would be 5 points below the lowest batting average of all time, which is crazy to hear. I don't know if it's the new balls. Usually this happens, but not this badly, where batters take a longer time to ramp up than pitchers. That could definitely be part of it. It will probably rise over the next few months, I would expect. Regardless, still very interesting thing to look at. I think what's really happening is the balls, they've tweaked them a little bit. I've talked about this in the off season. They tweaked them a little bit. Pitchers are able to get better grip, and you know they've softened them a little bit. So you have balls that would be close home runs that are now flyouts, and that's leading to decreased run production. You know, it's a pull complicated thing to go into. Something not complicated though is that the Mets refuse to give Jacob DeGrom any run support. I mean, he had a win where he gave up no runs in six innings, and the Mets still only won 4-3 because they almost blew it in the last inning. Or, excuse me, they blew it with a bunch of errors in the fifth inning, and then almost did in the seventh. Jacob DeGrom, it's been very fun to watch this year. He's fun to watch anytime. That's just because he has a 0.45 ERA so far, 35 strikeouts. Number that's especially good to latch on to, a whip of 0.70, of course, walking hits per inning pitch. So he's been a very good starter this year. The team around him not necessarily giving much run support. He has that kind of ERA in the he only has one win. Somebody that is getting run support in a big way is Corbin Burnes of the Milwaukee Brewers, a relief pitcher. 0.37 ERA through, like, it's not like he hasn't been pitching innings. He's pitched 24 innings, and he's given up one run. So it's definitely a crazy relief pitcher there out of Milwaukee. But that is all I have for ceiling signs. Wait, going through it? Never mind. One quick thing to add. Javier Baez has 31 strikeouts and one walk. We are 2 weeks into the season, and Javier Baez has 31 strikeouts. I'm sure if you know any Cubs fans in your life, they are talking about this. Javier Baez does not have any plate discipline or plate vision. So he pretty much swings at anything. Pitchers have figured him out and just don't throw him strikes anymore. 31 strikeouts, one walk. Crazy to see. Crazy to see. But that's all now. No more false alarms. That's all I have for ceiling signs. After the break, let's look in the general direction of the NBA. Thank you for listening to KCOU 88.1 FM. Preferred walk. All right, welcome back to the show. Let's get into some looking in the general direction of the NBA before I have to bolt out of here. Let's, of course, start off, as we do every week, looking at the standings. So, new first place team in the Eastern Conference. The Philadelphia 76ers have gone a half game up on the Brooklyn Nets, who I'll get into later. Very interesting to see. Brooklyn Nets now number two. Milwaukee Bucks 3. Rounding out the top 4, New York Knicks. Again, talk about them later. Crazy to see. Atlanta Hawks at number 5. A little bit of worry, though, about Trae Young past week. Boston Celtics at 6. Miami at 7. Charlotte Hornets at 8. And then the two play-in spots go to the Pacers and the Wizards at the moment, with the Raptors just a half game out and the Bulls a full game out. In the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz have lengthened their lead on the first place spot at 44-15, at 1.5 games ahead of the Phoenix Suns. And then we have the LA Clippers, the Denver Nuggets rounding out the top 4, the LA Lakers 8.5 games back of Utah at number 5, then Portland, Dallas, Memphis, Golden State, San Antonio rounding out the top 10, with Golden State and San Antonio right now being in the two play-in spots, and Memphis just one game ahead of both of them. So let's start off with Golden State, though. Golden State had been on a pretty good streak as of late. That kind of got ended last night against Washington. But, you know, they had 11-point win over Philadelphia. They had an 18-point win over Cleveland, a huge win over Oklahoma City, a win against Denver, dating back to last Monday. But they did lose last night against Washington. But something they also lost last night against Washington was Curry's 30-point streak. So 11 games straight, Steph Curry, 30 points. He shot 7 for 25 from the field, though, against Washington. Pretty much, you know, why they lost, but live by the three, die by the three. It was a great run, though, for Curry. You know, scoring 30 in so many games really catapulted himself into the MVP consideration. So, I mean, a few more weeks left to go with the season. Still will be interesting to see what happens in that regard. But moving on, let's talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, who now have Jaren Jackson Jr. returning, and Joe Miller will not shut up about it. Good friend of the show, Joe Miller. But, yeah, he likes to talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. and how this is going to transform the Memphis Grizzlies. So make sure to tune in for No Filler Joe Miller on Wednesdays if you want to hear more about that. Because he talks about the Grizzlies a lot, but the Grizzlies right now, 29-28, coming off a few losses to the Clippers and the Nuggets. But who doesn't lose to the Clippers and the Nuggets? Got some wins over the Bucks and the Bulls, though, in the past week. Got a big game coming up against the Trailblazers tomorrow. That one will be one to watch. The Trailblazers, you know, aren't necessarily the best team in the Western Conference, but if the Grizzlies are going to make it in the playoff, that's the team that they're going to have to beat. Like, that's the type of team, you know, just above them. They need to punch up a little bit is basically what I'm saying. But, you know, Memphis, regardless, a great team. Ja Morant has really come into his own even more this year, 19 points per game. Jonas Valanciunas has had a really good last few weeks. He has been on fire, 17 points per game. Player efficiency rating of 24.3. It's just maddening. And now they get Jaren Jackson Jr. back. I mean, I somewhat believe that they'll be able to rise a little bit. I'm just saying that Portland game is going to be a big one just to gauge where Memphis is at. A team that is very hot, and I don't think anybody is guessing where they're at, it's the New York Knicks, who now have an 8-game win streak. Julius Randle has turned into a de facto New York star with this team. I mean, say what you will about the teams that they did against it, some good teams here. You know, they beat the Lakers, of course. You know, Lakers down a bunch of guys. They did beat the Mavericks. So, and the Hawks. So, you know, it's a pretty good run. Any run like this, though, and especially when it's a New York team, especially when it's the New York Knicks, who are known for not being good, it's going to get a lot of attention, and it certainly has. But really, when you look at this, a lot of it just comes down to gelling together as a team. I think the Knicks as a whole certainly are good. RJ Barrett's been improving, though. Just all around, the Knicks are very fun. A team that has been struggling lately in the terms of four straight losses is the New Orleans Pelicans, one of my favorite teams to look at. Even the shorthanded Nets, who I'll talk about in a moment, beat the New Orleans Pelicans. So, yeah, Zion's Pelicans just aren't doing the best. I mean, Zion's still having a good year, but really it's just the team around him. And the team as a whole, it's still very young, still developing. I think they have an outside chance, depending on, you know, see how injury woes are, you know, barring a late run, maybe not losing four games in a row. They might have a chance to, like, maybe approach San Antonio to get that 10th spot. I'm not going to hold my breath, though. Lastly, before I get out of here, let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets. 39-20, second in their own division, though, to the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, the Nets are still a good team. They've just been dealing with injury woes. You know, especially Harden and Kevin Durant, that hurts. If they have Harden and Kevin Durant, they're going to be fine rolling through the Eastern Conference, in my opinion. Barring a huge upset, they're going to be fine. But really, it's just the health there. You know, both those guys have not necessarily been the healthiest in terms of injury luck this year. So I think it's good that they're taking their time, regular at this point, where the Nets are, it doesn't matter, regular season at this point. Still got a few weeks. Believe the season will end around the 17th of May. So got a few weeks to get everything together for a playoff push. But very interesting stuff going on in the NBA. But that is all I have for Hate the Player, Not the Game this week. A little bit of a shorter show, but a lot of news going on this week. Make sure to tune in next week and stay tuned for more coverage on KCLU 88.1 FM. I, as always, am Lucas Owens. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day. Make sure to stay safe, stay healthy. Adios.